Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today, continuing our Franciscan spirituality series, we're going to look more directly at the sources of Franciscan spirituality beginning today. In every Christian spirituality, grace and nature, God and man come together in its formation. So in every spirituality, you can look at the supernatural and the natural sources from which the spirituality originates. Astonishing thing about Franciscan spirituality is that its founder, St. Francis of Assisi, didn't really associate himself with any particular spiritual school or cultural precedent. St. Augustine, for his part, was very learned and had a vast cultural and philosophical knowledge. St. Benedict studied at Rome. He availed himself of the ancient monastic experience of the East as well as its beginnings in the West. St. Bernard of Clairvaux's spirituality grew and developed through his monastic setting, but St. Francis didn't have any of these things. Francis was born and he grew up in what we would call a middle-class environment, small town of Assisi, and his cultural experience and knowledge were both modest. He had no knowledge of the great centers of learning at the time, so Paris, Oxford, Bologna, didn't have any experience or knowledge of them. It seems that he went to a local school called the School of St. George, where he learned how to read, as his first biographer, Thomas of Celano, mentions. Francis knew nothing of the great abbeys of the time, which were the centers for study in the medieval period. It seems as though he spent a few days in a Benedictine abbey, but he was acting there as what was called a scullery boy, so doing house cleaning, maybe cooking as well. In Francis of Assisi, God chose a simple but generous young man, a man lacking in profound schooling and scientific knowledge. He chose Francis so that the wisdom of God and the love of God could shine in him and through him, so that Francis could then transmit that wisdom to others and that love as well. It's similar to what God did with the 12 apostles. You know, Christ chose 12 men whom no one else would have chosen to accomplish his work. In his testament, St. Francis writes this. He says, "No one showed me what I needed to do. It was God himself who revealed to me that I had to live the law of the Holy Gospel." So if at the beginning of every legitimate spirituality, there are both human and supernatural factors, the supernatural factor is very prominent with St. Francis. Again, St. Francis and Franciscan spirituality doesn't attach itself or refer back to previous Christian spiritualities, either historically or culturally. It doesn't directly inherit any spiritual patrimony, but it is harmoniously inserted into Christian history right after the other spiritualities, and it's divine grace and divine wisdom, which is primarily what guided St. Francis of Assisi. So what are the supernatural sources of Franciscan spirituality? The first one is clearly the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk about him today. If you read Francis's early biographies written by Thomas of Celano, by St. Bonaventure, if you read The Mirror of Perfection or The Legend of the Three Companions, you'll find that St. Francis's life reorientation, as shall we say, after his conversion, it all comes from above, and almost all the time comes directly from God, not through some other person. And then because of his docile submission to the church and the profound veneration which he had towards priests and the priesthood, Francis humbly sought confirmation to these inspirations, to see if they truly came from God. He sought confirmation from the ecclesiastical authority that Christ himself had instituted. We read in the legend of the three companions that Francis willingly accepted to appear before the Bishop of Assisi when there was a contention between him and his father after his conversion. Francis said, "I willingly appear before the Lord Bishop, who is the Father and Lord of souls." And the bishop easily understood that Francis's actions came from the counsel of God, from the Holy Spirit, when he interviewed him. Still along this line of humble submission to the church, when the number of his companions had reached 12, again, we read in the legend of the three companions that he wanted to go, Francis wanted to go, quote, to our Holy Mother, the Roman Church, to notify the Holy Father that which the Lord, by means of these 12 brothers, has begun to do. And who went before St. Francis? It was God himself who did. God revealed to Pope Innocent III that a, quote, small and despised man, unquote, would sustain, so would hold up the Lateran Basilica, meaning the church. That small, despised man was St. Francis, and the Holy Spirit not only went before him in his journey, but he also gave Francis the right words to share with the Holy Father as well. St. Bonaventure, in his Legenda Maior, simply says, Christ himself was Francis's only guide during all this time. And shortly after his conversion, Francis would retire into a grotto far away from other people, and there, as Thomas of Celano says, he prayed to his Father in secret, asking with devotion to the eternal and true God to direct his paths and to teach him to do his will. In that grotto alone, he would meditate, weep, repent, and be renewed by the Holy Spirit. At Spoleto, the young Francis heard the interior guide with a capital G, which is God. He heard God make himself clear and distinct. He asked, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the divine guide inside of him said, return to your city. The vision, meaning the vision of the magnificent palace filled with armor that he had, the vision which you saw foretold a spiritual achievement which will be accomplished in you by God's will, not man's, said the voice to him. So again, who's in charge here? It's the Holy Spirit who's in charge of Francis's itinerary. And St. Bonaventure tells us that after that, moved by the Holy Spirit, Francis went into the old rustic church of San Damiano, where he heard the words from the crucifix that gave him his mission. Go, Francis, and rebuild my church, which, as you see, is falling completely into ruin. It was then true then. In a certain sense, it's true now, too. The church really is in ruins in many respects today as well. That's another homily, of course. At the Portiuncola, the Holy Spirit indicated to Francis by means of the gospel the form and program of life that he was to follow, which was the life of the apostles. After a mass that was celebrated there at the Portiuncola, he asked the priest to explain what he'd heard in the reading. And once Francis understood God's call, he didn't hesitate an instant to embrace it. And Bonaventure says that from that moment, quote, the man of God began by divine impulse to follow the evangelical perfection and to call others to penance. And Francis's words, says the seraphic doctor, quote, were full of the virtue of the Holy Spirit, unquote. Again, who's orchestrating the whole drama in his life? It's God, it's the Holy Spirit. Francis isn't the protagonist. He's just the instrument in all of this. Along the lines of Francis's preaching, actually during his time, preaching to the people and doing apostolic work was not permitted to the monks. They couldn't do that. So we can see that St. Francis was being led by the Holy Spirit actually to start a new mode of life and a new form of religious activity in the church too. And Francis, who was not indecisive by any means, but it was only desirous, as St. Bonaventure says, to regulate his life according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit, Francis actually hesitated to go out and preach at the beginning. Why? Well, he wanted to make sure that it was the will of God. He was impulsive, but he was also spiritually very prudent, too. What did he do? He asked counsel of Friar Sylvester and St. Clair, two trustworthy contemplatives. He asked them to pray and see if this was the life that the Lord really wanted him to live. It's a very humble thing to actually do, not just go on my own impulse, but actually ask others to intercede for God and see if this is true. St. Bonaventure tells us that both of them, quote, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, unquote, assured Francis that he and his followers should be apostles, meaning they should preach. Once he was sure that the ministry of preaching was from the Holy Spirit, Francis embraced it with all his heart. Before we close, we'll give a few other examples where we see Francis guided by the Holy Spirit in his biographies. Well, St. Bonaventure tells us that his encounter with the Sultan, the Muslim leader, he says that encounter was guided by the Lord. Also, under the guide of the Holy Spirit, St. Francis went to Fonte Colombo, where, taught by Jesus himself, he wrote the definitive rule of the Franciscan order. The Holy Spirit also led him to Mount Laverna, where the mystery of his perfect conformity to Christ crucified was accomplished. At Laverna, Francis prayed the bold prayer of asking for the love and for the suffering of Jesus. And in return, he received the stigmata, the wounds of Jesus in his hands, in his feet, in his side. Thomas of Celano, in his biography, sums it up, saying that the Blessed Father Francis was accustomed not to pass over any visitation of the Holy Spirit with negligence, meaning that he would always embrace the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. Whenever he felt the Holy Spirit stir inside of him, he would prayerfully listen and be attentive. It's something I think we all need to learn to do in our lives. So we see in all of these episodes of St. Francis's life an essential principle of Franciscan spirituality. It's that the initiative of every good work and of all sanctification, it all starts with the Holy Spirit. With our cooperation, the Holy Spirit gradually develops in our soul an intimate imitation with Christ, up to making us fully identify with him, transforming us into him, as it were, as St. Paul would say. We become other Christs when we cooperate with the Spirit of God. And remember, God is accessible to us at the point where grace meets our free will. It's then and there that we choose how we are going to respond to God. Grace, God's grace, is anterior. It comes first. It takes the initiative. And it's superior to us because it's a divine gift. But our free will is necessary and has to act in harmony with the will of God, with the grace of the Holy Spirit. So for our part, let's ask Our Lady for the ability to be more attentive and more cooperative with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, as we move on to the other sources of Franciscan spirituality in our next reflections. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.